Hey there, Mike Stelzner. Before we start today's episode, I got a message for you. You listen to this podcast because you love to learn. Did you know that when you join the Social Media Marketing Society, you learn advanced marketing strategies that work? This means you get training when you want, and you can connect with other marketers via our online meetups that happen every month and our exclusive community, which is not on Facebook. This is our premier membership brought to you by your friends at Social Media Examiner. Go to smmarketingsociety.com and join today.
Welcome to the Social Media Marketing Podcast, helping you navigate the social media jungle. And now, here's your host, Michael Stelzner.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you so much for joining me for the Social Media Marketing Podcast, brought to you by socialmediaexaminer.com. I'm your host, Michael Stelzner, and this is the podcast for marketers and business owners who want to know what works with social media. I am really excited about today's show. I'm going to be joined by Rick Mulready, and we're going to talk about what's changed with Facebook ads recently and a new strategy that you can employ for better results. By the way, if you can't tell, I'm battling a little bit of a cold, so I apologize. I'm a little nasally. You can email me at podcast@socialmediaexaminer.com if you have any questions about today's show. And I've got a brand new discovery that I want to share with you. But before I do, I want to let you know that these are not ads. So we don't accept any money. We're not getting any kind of benefit from these tools that we share with you guys. We just bring it to you every week because we want you to benefit from the discoveries that we find. And with that, let's transition over to this week's brand new discovery.
After mediating a crocodile family dispute, look at what Michael Stelzner discovered.
Okay, a few months back, Twitter got rid of the Twitter share accounts, and everybody was up in arms, including me. And there are a number of cool tools out there that solve this problem. And I'm here today to share with you the one that we use at Social Media Examiner. And I'm going to tell you what it's called and how it works and why we love it. It's called newsharecounts.com. newsharecounts.com. Now, our website is massive and it works just fine on our website. What's cool about this is new share accounts, just you add a piece of code, almost like Google Analytics code, to every page on your website. So if you paste this code in, wherever you paste in your Google Analytics code, it does kind of all the heavy lifting in the background. It interfaces with the official Twitter button. It interfaces with SumoMe, with Add This, with Shareaholic, Social Warfare, Jetpack, and a whole bunch of other plugins. So what's really cool is it just essentially automagically works. And we use the SumoMe plugin. And when you visit our website, a few seconds after the load, the Twitter number displays and then the master aggregate number changes. And it's just awesome to have that stuff back. I've been in communication with the founder of this company. There is no crazy business model. He just developed this as an awesome service to the community. And he's a really awesome developer. And, you know, eventually he said there probably will be some paid products that will come as a result of this. But I can't tell you how cool it is to actually have the share count back. And I knew that... I know that we're not the only ones that are using it. Duct Tape Marketing is using it, BuzzSumo, SEMrush, and all sorts of other websites. So check it out. It's newsharecounts.com. Earlier in today's show, I mentioned the Social Media Marketing Society. When you join this exclusive community, you get access to marketing training covering everything from artificial intelligence all the way to YouTube. You see what I did? A to Y, all the way across the spectrum. Every month, we add fresh new training workshops on the latest marketing strategies. Join more than 1,000 marketers who are thriving because of the society. Here's what a fellow marketer had to say. Quote, I've been so impressed with the content of the society. It's the deep dive I was wanting. Really glad I joined, unquote, said Dina Childs. Join today by visiting smmarketingsociety.com. Again, smmarketingsociety.com. And with that, let's transition over to today's interview with Rick Mulready.
Help! helping you simplify your social safari, here's this week's expert guide.
I'm very excited to be joined today by Rick Mulready. If you don't know who Rick is, he's the host of the Art of Paid Traffic podcast, a podcast you definitely want to listen to. He's also a Facebook ads coach, and he has numerous courses on Facebook advertising, including his latest one called FB Ad Vantage. Rick, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mike. Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
So today, Rick and I are going to explore what's changed with Facebook ads over the last few months and talk about what are some new strategies that works. So, Rick, let's start with your story. How did you get into Facebook ads? Because I don't think Facebook ads was always your focus, was it?
It was not. And I come from a corporate online advertising background. So I spent 12 years in the corporate space working for the likes of AOL back on the East Coast. I worked for Yahoo, worked for Funny or Die, worked for a company called Vibrant Media. So my background is really in that corporate space, working with big brands and everything from banner ads back when they were the norm to video ads, to search, to text advertising, all different types of online advertising. And I did that right through when I left the corporate world in 2012, but I got into Facebook ads around 2010. And that's because, you know, I was seeing the opportunity that these big brands were having with these companies that I was working with, but it really left a big gap for the small business because they weren't able to afford the minimum advertising spend that these big brands had. Mm-hmm. And this is around the time, like I said, 2010. And so Facebook was really starting its big rise and, you know, really making a name for itself as a social platform at that point. And I was seeing what was happening there with small businesses. They were able to, you know, really congregate there, really build a great raving fan base. This was at a time when you could post on your page and people would see it.
Exactly.
But also, you know, this is at a time when Facebook was starting to allow businesses to advertise on there. Mm. And so, you know, with the amount of information that Facebook had and still has, obviously, about its user base, I was seeing how small businesses were able to leverage Facebook advertising to, you know, reach new audiences and sell more of their products or services. And because I came from that online advertising background, I naturally gravitated towards the advertising side of Facebook. And I just, you know, it was just something that really caught me about it. So I said, you know what, I'm going to dive into Facebook advertising while I'm in my corporate job, but I want to just kind of teach myself as much as I possibly could. And I kind of had a plan at that point that I wanted to leave the corporate world. I wanted to kind of do something on my own. I just wasn't sure quite what it was. And I figured that Facebook advertising might be sort of that thing, if you will, that could help me do my own thing and leave the corporate world. And that's, you know, long story short, is that's kind of what happened there. I really dove into Facebook ads. I loved it. I saw the power in it. I taught myself as much as I possibly could. I started running other campaigns for entrepreneur friends and, you know, sort of, as they say, it's history after that. I ended up leaving my corporate job at the end of 2012 and have been doing the Facebook ads thing ever since. Now, as you mentioned before, I didn't always just focus on Facebook ads. For a couple of years, for the first couple of years, I did focus on sort of social media in general.
Yeah, you had, and, what was it, Inside Social Media or something like that?
The Inside Social Media podcast. Yeah, so I was interviewing heads of social media from some of the biggest brands around the world and talking about what they were doing well in social media, but also how small businesses could model what they were doing. And, you know, that was great, but I was still always pulled back towards the Facebook ad side. I just loved it. That's been my life for so, you know, the online advertising part has been my life for so long. And
when,
so,
yeah, when did you start the new podcast, The Art of Paid Traffic? How long have you been doing that?
That was January of 2015. So a little over a year ago now.
And it's a weekly podcast. Tell people kind of what you do on that show.
Yeah, so we obviously cover a lot of Facebook advertising on that show, but we talk about pretty much everything else when it comes to paid traffic as well, whether it's YouTube ads or copywriting or landing pages. We're doing a series right now. At the time of this recording, we're doing a mini series on like metrics and analytics and sort of things. So whatever kind of topic that you can think of when it comes to paid traffic, we cover it on the show. And it's a combination of sort of case studies. I have experts on to talk about different things, what they're doing and teaching what they know as far as their expertise. And I also do solo shows to talk about, you know, what I'm doing in my business, Facebook ads and that sort of thing.
So let's zoom in on Facebook ads and how they've changed over the last, you know, 6 months to a year, because chances are pretty good that people that are listening right now that have dabbled in Facebook ads might be doing exactly the same thing that they were doing a few years ago and may not understand what's shifted or evolved. Can you kind of open our eyes a little bit to what's changed?
Yeah, for sure. And a lot has changed over the past year or so. And we'll, I'll kind of touch on different areas that have changed. Number one, the targeting has changed. You know, we can now, and we have for a little while now, but we've been able to upload our email list, for example, and create a targeting audience out of people who are on our email list. We can retarget people coming to our website, for example, or a landing page that we have. They've also rolled out something called detailed targeting. So when most people think of, you know, the sort of the stereotypical type of targeting that when people think of Facebook ads, they think of, oh, I can target, you know, another fan page, another Facebook page of my competitor or somebody in my space. That's called interest targeting. Well, Facebook has actually since rolled out something called detailed targeting, and it's only been out a few months now, where, and what that is before you could target, let's just say we want to target Social Media Examiner and then target, I don't know, Entrepreneur Magazine. Well, okay, we could only do it or. So I could target my ads to people who had an interest in Social Media Examiner or Entrepreneur Magazine. Whereas now we can target people, we can set our ads up so that we can target people who have an interest in Social Media Examiner and Entrepreneur Magazine. Mm. So we can get really, really targeted with that. And we can even take it a step further.
Wait, hold on a second. Yeah. Interest versus fans of, is it the same thing? What is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it's the same thing.
It is. Okay.
Yeah.
And could you, in the past, target other people's pages? It sounds,
yes, we could.
I didn't realize. Is it every page or is it just some pages?
It's infuriating. The answer is not every page, unfortunately. Unfortunately, when you might have like the greatest page ever, you're like, you know what? This is a perfect page I want to target in my business because it's one of my, I don't know, competitors' pages, and it's a great big Facebook page. It's perfect. You try to type it in there to the detailed targeting, the interest section of your targeting, and it doesn't show up. Mm. Not every page is available to target, unfortunately. And I don't have a good reason why. I've actually asked Facebook this directly, and I've always gotten kind of different answers.
Do they have to be of a certain size? Typically the larger ones?
Typically, yes, but that's not always the case. I've seen cases where, you know, an audience or a page has a huge audience and you can't target it, while a page has only a few thousand maybe fans and you can target that. Mm. So mostly that is the case, but it's not always the case.
Okay, so you were talking about detailed targeting and you can now combine variables together, right? Someone who's a fan of Social Media Examiner and Entrepreneur Magazine, which would kind of be a subsegment of our audience, right? Someone who's perhaps a solopreneur, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you can also take it a step further and exclude an audience now. Mm. So you could say, I want to target fans of, Social Media Examiner and Entrepreneur Magazine, but exclude people who like, I don't know, Inc. Magazine. Mm. So you can take it a step further and get really, really detailed with it.
Very cool. What's the benefit of doing that? I mean, like, have you messed around with that? Does that actually result in better response to advertisements?
It does, because you can get a lot more granular with your targeting. So rather than just saying, you know, Social Media Examiner is my target audience, but now maybe I want to reach a real detailed subsegment of that audience. And so now I can do that. Mm. So that's what detailed targeting really allows us to do.
Has there been any other evolutions when it comes to Facebook ads? Go for it.
For sure. And this was really, really apparent when Facebook reported its Q4 earnings just a couple months ago. They came out and said, you know, in so many words, look, our customer is not the advertiser. Yes, they're making money off of advertising, but their customers are the Facebook users. Mm. You know, there's over 1.5 billion users on Facebook now. And so what Facebook recognizes is that without these users, they're not going to have advertisers coming to advertise on the platform. So the evolution really here is that Facebook is now at all costs protecting the user experience on Facebook. It's why we hear so many times where people get their account shut down or banned or whatever it might be. It's because Facebook has these, you know, pretty strict ads policies that you need to abide by when you are running Facebook ads. And the reason for these policies that we have in place is because they want to make sure the advertisers are thinking value first and making sure that they're taking care of the users on Facebook. So what that means, the evolution really is, yes, you can still run an ad to like an opt-in page or a webinar registration page or whatever that might be. But sort of the evolution there is it's now a very good practice, and I'm sure that we'll talk about this at some point further here in the conversation, about giving them value first. So giving content away for free, no opt-in or anything like that, and then using retargeting to get those people who are consuming your content back into and onto your email list from there, or even offering them like a inexpensive sale. So that's been a big evolution, focusing on value first.
I want to dig into some of the new advertising types that have recently come up. I know there's a whole slew of different kinds of ads that didn't exist a year ago. Can you review some of them?
Sure. Video and carousel ads are the two big ones. So let's start with video. I just read this stat last week, and I'm going to try to remember what it was. 100 million hours of video are being consumed on Facebook every day right now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's huge. And they're catching up to, I think it's now like 1/6 of YouTube. I think YouTube was like 600 million hours a day or something like that. Facebook is catching up really quickly. And so what does that mean? A lot of video is being consumed on Facebook. And as an advertiser, that's a great opportunity for us to leverage video on a platform where there's over 1.5 billion people on there.
And I think the autoplay thing is a big deal. Does that work for video ads as well?
It is. So what happens when the video comes into the newsfeed is that it is autoplay, meaning when the video comes in, it's automatically playing. However, it's muted. And so what someone has to do in order to hear that, if they're on their desktop computer, they actually have to click the little speaker button. Or if they're on their phone, they have to tap the video in order to hear it. So that comes into, it's really important that if you're going to be using a video ad, within the first 10 seconds of the video or so, you have to get their attention visually to get them to click or tap on the video so that they can hear it. What I see a lot of people doing is giving away their best stuff within the first 10 seconds, when oftentimes someone hasn't even, you know, unmuted the video yet. So they miss that. And they're moving along into the video and they've really missed that important part.
Yeah, and I remember in the last few weeks they've introduced captions on video ads so that at least you can have some words being displayed. If you have a talking head, for example, in your ad, those captions can be displayed, which is kind of cool, because if someone doesn't go to the point of unmuting, at least they can experience what the words are that are being said on the screen, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's a great strategy to try to get them to get people to engage with your video, even though, as you just said, Mike, they might not be hearing it at that point.
Carousel ads.
They're really interesting, and they're playing around. Facebook is playing around with how many different images that you can have in there. I've seen five is sort of the norm. I've seen up to 10. I've seen more than that. And essentially, what that is, it's an image ad. That will appear in the newsfeed when you set it up, but it rotates through. It has multiple images within that image space. And so the cool thing about it is you can have five different, let's just say it's five different images. You can have those five different images, and each image is going to be linking out to something different. So this might be good if you are, let's just say you want to send people to, I don't know, different blog posts on your website. You want to give value away and you want to see which topic performs the best. So maybe you're sending people to, I don't know, an article about Instagram ads, Facebook ads, YouTube ads, Twitter ads, and Google AdWords, you know, and you just kind of want to test to see which one performs the best. You know, where do people have the most interest? Well, you can set that up with a carousel ad, and it has a little arrow that you can scroll through on the ad. People will be able to scroll through each of those images. And the cool thing is that from an advertiser's perspective, you'll be able to see detailed reporting for each one of those images that you have in the carousel. So this is cool. For an example, like I just mentioned, you can have, maybe you have testimonials that you want to, share with people. You have different people in each image. Maybe you are in e-commerce where you're having different products in each of those images. So carousel ads are a really interesting new ad type they've rolled out.
Now, is this only a mobile ad platform or is this also on desktop?
This is both on desktop and on mobile.
And I think it just shows about 2.5 ads, right? And then you have to kind of scroll through them. Does that sound about
correct?
Right?
Yes, exactly.
So it sounds complicated, and it seems to kind of fly in the face of traditional marketing where you would just simply advertise one thing. Mm-hmm. Why would someone want to do a carousel ad, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, like kind of the example I just mentioned, like if you're looking to send people, you want to kind of test out different pieces of content where you want to see which topic performs the best, or maybe you're just trying to get, you know, overall people, you just want to drive more people to your website and offer different types of content for them to choose from. So that's one good opportunity. It could be a really cool opportunity for, let's just say you're retargeting people who have come to your sales page,
right,
and haven't bought, and you have testimonials from some of your current students or your current customers or clients. You could have an image of one of your clients in one of these images that links to your testimonials page or something, or that part of your sales page, or however you have it set up. And you have five different images of five different customers that you could
profile. Do you have to use five profile, or just is it up to five?
Right. I mean, it kind of varies. Like Facebook is testing the, I personally have five. I've heard people have 10. I've heard people have more than that.
Oh, wow.
And so Facebook is kind of playing around with that right now.
And does this cost more money to do a carousel ad?
No, it's the same.
And I know it's obviously a little more complicated because you're actually preparing a bunch of little ads, aren't you?
It's actually not that bad. So when you go to set it up, all you're really doing is, yes, I mean, you do have to do five times the work in a sense of you have to upload, you know, the five different images, the different tracking URLs, and yeah, the different text for it. But it's really not that bad.
Do they have an ability to optimize which ones show up based on clicks? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like if one seems to deliver more?
I don't think that's a great question. I think that's a manual process on your end.
Gotcha.
Because you're able to see the breakdown like in Ads Manager reporting. And that's a great point, Mike. I don't think that Facebook at this point right now is optimizing more towards one of them.
Right.
Simply because there's no way to, you know, automatically update the images because you've chosen five images to rotate through.
Yeah, I think that sounds like something
they could do.
Yeah, they could probably show the ones that get the most clicks first.
Yep.
Video. Let's go back to video. What are some best practices when it comes to ads for videos? I've seen Gary Vaynerchuk put really long videos into ads, and I don't know if he's boosting them or what he's doing exactly. Yeah. But what are your recommendations to people that want to mess with video ads?
Well, one of the questions I get often, most often, is how long should the video be? And I'm going to give an answer that probably your audience isn't going to like, Mike, is that the video length needs to be as long as it needs to be. Mm. And what I mean by that is there's really no right or wrong for the video. You know, I've seen success with videos that are anywhere between, you know, 30 seconds up to 6 minutes or something like that. And I've heard other stories where I've had students have really long videos where we're talking like 20 minutes plus, and they've done really well. You know, the idea is you want to think about educating people in the video, but you also want to remember that what type of platform that Facebook is. It's a fun sort of informal platform. So you want to be kind of entertaining them a little bit, you know, in the video while also trying to educate and get them to take action, whatever you want them to do, whether it's go to a landing page or whatever that might be. So, you know, when it comes to the length, you know, just try to remember that you're trying to accomplish those things, but you are trying to do it in as short amount of time as possible, simply because most people, you know, they're on Facebook, they're on their phone, they're in line at Starbucks, they're kind of flipping through. So if you catch their attention, you got to be able to keep their attention for, you know, as long as they want to be engaged with it. So there, you know, as far as a sweet spot goes, I would shoot for maybe between 45 seconds and say 3-ish minutes or so. Again, that's going to be, there's really no right or wrong there, but you have to be able to have enough time in that video to kind of get the point across. The great thing about video is that people can, you know, sort of see your mannerisms. It's a great way for you to connect with your audience and vice versa, because they're seeing you, they're hearing you, they're able to watch what you're doing, they're able to see how you teach or whatever you're talking about. So it's a great way to connect. The other thing too, I hear a lot, you know, and I'm one of those people too, is that they're like, oh, I hate being in front of the camera, so I would never do a video ad. Well, don't let that stop you. I do recommend, at least in the first part of the video, if you can be in front of the camera, do try and be in front of the camera for at least the first few seconds. Because remember,
so talking heads work, huh?
What's that?
Talking heads work, huh?
Yeah, and it goes back to what we were talking about before, Mike, is what when the video comes into your newsfeed, it's muted. So if you're talking, if someone sees you talking, they're more likely to connect with you and want to hear what you're having to say, as opposed to just going right to like a keynote presentation or a PowerPoint presentation. You can still cut to that, but I would recommend trying to get in front of the camera, FaceTime in front at first. And I would say the other big objection is that people think they have to have this vast, production or hire a crew to shoot the videos. Grab your iPhone, grab your Android device. The newest phones have great cameras on them. Those are good. Like those are enough to be making really good, high quality HD videos that you can be using in your ads.
How do they bill? I mean, I've heard YouTube doesn't charge you for the first X number of seconds. Is it the same with Facebook, or how does that work exactly?
Well, it depends on what objective that you choose. So with the videos, you can choose video views as your objective, meaning like I just want to get as many people as possible to see the video. And then you have you can use video for conversions, website conversions, or clicks to website, meaning I just want to drive traffic. So it really depends on what your objective is. But what you're talking about, Mike, with like YouTube, video views is going to be most like what YouTube is looking at.
And do they charge you for the? Because like, what's going through my brain is, they autoplay and like someone's scrolling down the newsfeed. Do I get charged when it autoplays, or does it have to play for a couple seconds or what?
3 seconds. 3 seconds or more.
Okay.
And so that you're totally right. It's a totally valid point. And I think that's really why Facebook has kind of shifted as opposed to reporting on video views, as opposed to the total number of hours of video that's being watched. Mm. Because they're trying to align more and compete with a YouTube. Granted, they're very different platforms and very different things. But when you can say, look, on Facebook, we have 100 million hours of video viewing every single day. You know, if YouTube is reporting the same way, Facebook can kind of be kind of apples to apples, that comparison. But yeah, if you're counting on video views, if you have a good video, I mean, heck, you can be paying pennies, like 1 to 3 cents per video view. And again, that is 3 seconds or more on the video.
Do the ads take over the entire screen? Because I've seen some videos on Facebook where it kind of encourages me to go watch the next video. You know what I'm talking about, right? I don't know if you've seen this on Facebook where you start watching a video and then below there is another one and it kind of wants to keep me watching videos.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
With the video ads, does it like take over the entire screen so that when you do get someone unmute and play a video, is it like Snapchat where you have all of the real estate, if you will, while they're
on mobile?
That.
Yes.
Okay.
On mobile.
That's
yeah,
cool.
You do.
Cool. And do you find that it's more economical than the alternative types of Facebook advertising?
Especially on mobile, video is going to be going to do a lot better, primarily especially for when it comes to video views. It's going to perform a lot better on mobile. Now, granted, you want to be testing this out. Right. I've seen way bigger success when it comes to video on the mobile device, especially when it comes to video views.
Let's shift over to Instagram. Facebook owns Instagram. Mm-hmm. How much of this stuff applies to Instagram?
Really, all of it does apply. However, and I'll kind of caveat that a little bit, Instagram definitely has its own policies. They're a little bit more stringent, and you might be saying, well, heck, Facebook is really stringent as it is. Instagram is even a little bit more stringent in their policies and that sort of thing. And the type of images or video that you're going to use on Instagram is likely or probably should be a little bit different than what you would do on Facebook, because of the fact that Instagram is, it's very much a lifestyle type of platform. So you want to make sure that your ads are reflecting that type of, lifestyle feel to the platform.
Like quote, so, inspirational quotes, pictures of, things that typically people might put on Instagram. Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. They really don't want you doing anything kind of outright salesy. Now, granted, Facebook doesn't either, but Instagram definitely doesn't want you to be doing that.
And does the 20% text rule, which briefly describe the 20% text rule on Facebook, and does it apply to Instagram?
It does apply to Instagram. And basically the 20% rule is just means that Facebook does not allow you to have more than the image can't be taken up more than of 20% text. And the reason for that is basically Facebook doesn't want the newsfeed to be, a big billboard, as you're scrolling through. Mm-hmm. So make sure, and you can have, and Facebook's, if you Google Facebook grid tool or ad grid tool, it will come up. You can upload your image that you've created for it into that grid tool, and you just click on the little grids, and it'll tell you exactly what percentage of the overall area of the image is text. And if it's over 20%, you need to redo it.
Has your experience been that they're pretty strict on this? Like sometimes they'll say yes, and sometimes they'll say no. And
yeah, I mean, what you don't want to do is, like, oftentimes it'll get through. Now, granted, there's sort of a two-step process on the approval of ads. The initial approval is being done by Facebook's algorithm. So what happens a lot of time is that the ads will be approved, and this goes beyond, you know, ad images and the 20% rule too. They'll get approved, but they'll start running for a day or so, and then they'll get declined. They'll get not approved, and
that's because human review, right?
Yeah, exactly. So because people are actually going through and reviewing these ads, so it might get through the whole automated algorithm to begin with, but then they get caught up in the approval process after that. The other thing, Mike, about Instagram is that the cool thing is that all the same targeting opportunities that you have on Facebook are the same for Instagram. So very cool. That's really cool.
Do you get a link? Because you know how hard it is. It's like impossible to link outside of Instagram. Do they provide that on the ads for Instagram?
You get a call to action button.
Okay.
And so right now, at the time of this recording, it's a learn more button. So by clicking that, it will take you out to, you know, whatever landing page that you have. And yeah, that's a really big thing, because as you mentioned, you know, you can't have a clickable URL if you post on Instagram just on a regular post.
Excellent. Now, earlier in the interview, you alluded that we should think about a new strategy for creating ads on Facebook. Yep. Let's kind of dig into your strategy here.
Yeah, so this really goes back to the whole, you know, thinking value first. And this is really what Facebook wants us advertisers to be, how they want us to be approaching our ads. And this comes in, you kind of have to start out by remembering and thinking about the type of traffic that you're targeting your ads to. You know, what is it? Cold traffic? Is it warm traffic? Is it hot traffic? So let's just really quickly define that. Cold traffic is essentially people who might not know who your business is. So if you're targeting, you know, other fan pages on Facebook, that their audiences are going to be, you're going to be introducing yourself to those audiences. They don't know who you are. That's cold traffic. Warm traffic is going to be kind of people who are on your email list, or maybe website visitors, people who come to your website, that sort of thing. Hot traffic is going to be people who have either bought from you or maybe kind of taken a few steps with you. Maybe they've opted in a few times. And, you know, high interaction rate with you is going to be that hot traffic. So approaching each one of those sort of traffic temperatures, if you will, through the eyes of how Facebook wants you to approach advertising from a value first perspective. So that cold traffic, they don't know who you are. So you have to warm them up to you. You have to give value to them. You have to get them to, you know, the whole know, like, and trust. You have to start to build that relationship.
So maybe some educational videos or something.
Absolutely. Yeah. Helpful blog articles, you know, podcast episodes, that sort of thing. So you're using your Facebook ad to drive people to this content. And then on those pages, whether it's, you know, a podcast page or a blog post, whatever that might be, you have areas for people to opt in on that page. However, you're also retargeting, you're building a retargeting audience of those people who are coming to those pages. So you have the Facebook pixel on the page there. You're building a retargeting audience of people coming to that page, so that those people who don't opt in, you can turn around and retarget those people to try to get them to opt into your email list. And that then it becomes that warm traffic. So once they're on the email list, then you can start to email them, retarget them to try to get them to take the next step in your sales funnel, if you will. So that's really this new strategy that Facebook really wants us doing, is giving value first, warming those people up to your brand and to your business and giving them value first, and then turning around, retargeting them, getting them on your email list so that they can take the next step, you know, in your business funnel.
So what I hear you saying is too many advertisers are just direct selling to audiences that don't know who they are. And as a result of that, they're not probably getting the results that they were hoping for. And I'm guessing they're probably having to spend more money as well, right?
Yeah, exactly. Now, what I'm not saying, though, is, like, a lot of times people think, like, well, what? I can't send people directly to an opt-in page or directly to, you know, a webinar registration. No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying test out different things. But where Facebook is really heading here is it really wants you giving that value first. Now, with a webinar, that could be considered value because you're going to be, you know, if they sign up for your webinar, you're going to be giving them free value for however long the webinar is, you know, so that could be considered value as well. Just don't be stuck in one specific strategy here. Be thinking value first when you're going to be doing your ads.
Well, I like the idea of sending them to a page where there's a lot of value and possibly maybe a video and then the option to get even more value. And then when they get on the email list, you can upload that email list to Facebook, right? And then you can remarket or target, I guess, those people on that list. Have you found good results when you upload email lists to Facebook?
Absolutely. Yeah. Those are along with your Facebook fans. Those are often your best performing ads, your least expensive ads. And some people might be saying, well, if I'm going to send Facebook ads to a blog post, for example, I'm paying for those costs, I'm paying per click. And then I'm going to turn around and retarget those people. So I'm paying again to reach those people again. Well, oftentimes you'll find that the cost to do that overall is less than if you were to send them directly to, you know, an opt-in page or whatever that might be. But the other thing too is that the quality of that lead is better because they've kind of taken a few steps to get onto your email list. They've consumed your content. They see the value that you're providing. And then they take another step to join your email list. You know, so they've taken a couple of steps to get there, which is kind of further qualifying them. So it's going to be a higher value person coming onto your email list.
What do you want to say to the person listening right now that says, well, I've already got their email address. Why don't I just email them?
Think about what your open rate is. You know, the average open rate, let's just say 20-30%.
Right.
So that still leaves 70-80% of the people on your email list who are not seeing your content, whatever you sent out to them.
Very good point.
You want to be in front of them in as many different places as you possibly can. So yes, continue emailing them, but get in front of them on Facebook as well because they're spending a whole lot of time there.
Awesome. Well, Rick, we could go on and on for hours. I know that this was really awesome and I learned a ton of new stuff. Why don't you tell people where they can discover more about you and whatever else you've got going on?
Cool. Well, when the time of this, when this episode comes out, we are launching you mentioned it at the very beginning, my FB Advantage Facebook Ads training course. This is my flagship course. And we have a webinar coming up. We have actually three live webinars coming up the last week of March. And so if people would like to check out one of those free live trainings, I'm going to be talking about kind of what we talked about here today, but going in a lot deeper, a lot more visual stuff, case studies and everything. So if people would like to check out one of those webinars, they can go to rickmulready.com/SME.
Is that lowercase or uppercase or does it matter?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, keep going. You were going to say?
Yeah, after March 31st, since the
2016, for those that are listening.
2016, yes. Since those webinars will be over, people can still go to that same URL, rickmulready.com/SME. And I'm going to have a complete guide cheat sheet to Facebook ads pixels. It's one of the questions I get almost on a daily basis. I've had probably six conversations already today about Facebook pixels. So I break it down, everything you need to know about the new Facebook pixel, why it's different or how it's different from the previous pixels, how to use them. It's going to be a complete guide cheat sheet for everybody. Again, it's rickmulready.com/SME.
And I want to encourage everyone, I am not an affiliate of Rick Mulready. I don't gain anything from you checking this out. He's just got this awesome course, and I think you should check it out. So rickmulready.com. How do you spell Mulready?
Mulready.
Awesome. Real Rick, on behalf of everybody that is listening right now, I just want to say thank you so much for sharing your insights and demystifying some of the cool stuff that's been going on with Facebook advertising.
You bet. Thanks so much for having me on, Mike. Appreciate it.
Well, I hope you got a lot out of today's show. I know there was a lot that we talked about. And if you missed anything, don't worry. We took all the notes for you. Visit socialmediaexaminer.com/190. That stands for episode 190. Wow, I can't believe we're coming up on 200. There you'll find all the notes and all the links and all that fun stuff. Also, don't miss any future episode of this podcast by hitting that subscribe button. This brings us to the end of yet another episode of the Social Media Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Stelzner. I'll be back with you in the driver's seat next week. I hope you make the absolute best out of your day, and may social media continue to change your world.
The Social Media Marketing Podcast is a production of Social Media Examiner.
Hey, just a quick reminder, join the Social Media Marketing Society today and level up your marketing for your company or your clients. Visit smmarketingsociety.com to find out more.